Message. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Somebody say, sock it to me.
Sock it to me.
Come on. I'm going to preach better than you're saying amen. Say it.
Sock it to me.
All right. You asked for it. I'm going to give it to you. How many plan one day to commit adultery, cheat on your spouse, or to get a little bit something on the side? It's quiet, right? Nobody plans on getting married, popping out a few kids, and then getting bitter and ugly divorce. You have that in your 5-year plan? 10-year plan? No, you don't. Nobody does, yet half, or they say, most stats say that half or even both of you will do that. Studies say you'll commit adultery. Somewhere around half, every end up in divorce. You don't plan it, yet so many people do. And why is that today? I believe that society teaches the wrong instead of the right today. In Genesis 2:23, God ordained marriage, and he ordained the home, and he ordained man and wife, husband and wife. And let's look at the very beginning here. At last, man exclaimed, "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken from man." This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined with his wife, and the two are united into one. I'm going to need the front row to help me out, because the guy in the first service, he was on the front row. He participated. I need maybe back row to back him up. Amen. He left. He just did his first. So we're united as one. Right, everybody?
Amen.
Divorce happens because society does a horrible job in preparing people for marriage. If it's society almost does a better job in culture in preparing people for divorce. What do you mean by that today? We say things outside of the bounds of marriage in a thing called we call dating that's relatively new to our culture. We say things that are meant for marriage, like "I love you." We do things outside the marriage culture and the dating culture that are meant just for marriage. We spend the night. We share each other's bodies that are meant for marriage in the marriage bed only. We share each other's, we bring another toothbrush, amen, you don't share the same one. And then when marriage dating culture does this, when you have tough times in that relationship, you take your toothbrush after the tough time and walk away. And you do that, you have sleepovers, and then you do that with the second somebody, the third somebody, the fifth, and you say "I love you" to the fifth outside of the bounds of marriage that is only meant for marriage. And you do that over and over, and you see how that conditions you to break up with each other. And you have a simple ceremony one day, and it doesn't mean a lot to you. It's just a ceremony. You made a vow before God and man, but you don't take it because you've already broken up with about 5 people, 10 people, 20 people already. And your toothbrush, you keep taking it home. You say, "This is just one more toothbrush. I'm going to leave." And you see how culture and society programs us not to have the covenant of marriage as a holy union today. And so, come on, Pastor, don't get mad at me today. I'm not. I'm glad that you're here this morning, because we need to equip. As our marriages go, so will our church go.
Amen.
Strong marriages, strong church today. Strong single adults that love Jesus, strong church today, right? You're married. One day you're married now. You will face tough times. Can I hear a good amen?
Amen.
You'll face some bumps in the road today. And so this, you'll hopefully still like me. Irma won't have to pull up the car, and I won't have to run out of the church. Amen. Nobody throwing rocks at me today, right? I want to look at a painful but beautiful story at the same time in the Bible. There's always every good reason that you would divorce, not only marriage, divorce your church, but oftentimes God has something different today. And so Summer of Love, number 4 here, the final one, Old Testament couple, Hosea and Gomer. And Gomer was actually the woman in this one. Just because you saw Gomer Pyle back in the day, this was Gomer, amen. And she was, it's too bad her name was that, right, everybody?
Amen.
At least it's not Hagar, right? And so she has a little bit of a name here. And so unfailing love. Let me give you a little bit of the context. 760 years before Jesus was born, the birth of Christ, Jeroboam, King Jeroboam II, was in charge of the northern kingdom. And he led a time of unprecedented prosperity among the nation. There was not only one chicken in every pot, there was 2 chickens in every pot. Everybody had a 3-car garage, you know what I'm saying, amen? They had the country club pass and so forth. And so there was economic increase in the nation of Israel. And so what happens in many times that's timeless, sometimes when blessings come, we forget about God. And it could be even found in our nation today. And so we see it even, God raised up a prophet named Hosea to speak to the nation about, don't forget about me. Tell them not to forget about how good I've been to them. Tell them not to forget about to come back to their first love today. The people were committing spiritual adultery. They were having other idols formed and they were worshiping other things. And just like our country has done, God has blessed us so much and we walk away from God and how He's blessed us. So the very beginning, Hosea 1:2, on the big screen, not in your handout today, but look at the screen with me. And so when the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord told him, and he was a young up-and-coming preacher, a young minister, and I believe at this moment he was single, which the Bible tells us. So he was saving himself for marriage as a young man. He was saying, I'm not going to have no safe sex. I'm going to have this thing called abstinence. Because there is no safe sex, right, everybody? Amen. Outside the bounds of marriage. And one lady's the only one saying amen. The rest of y'all can catch up. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so he told Hosea, go to the other side of town. He said, no, Lord, my wife's in church. She's that new worship leader that's singing and she's on fire. And I look at her and I go, that has to be my wife. I'm claiming her. Or he said, you know that one that is just teaching the word of God? That's my wife. And he saw her in church. She looked at me and I looked, and we're serving the Lord together. I said, no, I want you to go to the other side of town. Oh, Lord, do you want me to go to the other side of town where it's bad and you need police protection? I'm sure there they have that homeless ministry and that girl that's doing that homeless ministry, that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go find her and she's going to be leading the homeless ministry. Or maybe she's taking people out of sex trafficking and she's loving Jesus and serving Jesus. I'm going to find her there. And he goes to the other side of town and he said, no, that's your wife. Lord, the one with the fishnet stockings, the high heels, and the mini skirt, pretty woman, that one, yeah, that's the one. That's the one you marry. And he's obedient to it. And he goes on and he says, go take for yourself an adulterous wife, an adulterous harlot, a prostitute, the children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest of adultery. This is in the Bible, right, everybody? And departing from the Lord. Verse 3, and he married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son today. And why would, in the world, would God tell a budding young minister, a young prophet that loved Jesus, that loved God and honored him, why would he tell him to marry a prostitute? This story's very difficult because it has so many layers and the way it's prophetic and so forth, but I'm going to try to explain it. It's a story between Hosea and an immoral Gomer, and there's this bent that Gomer has of that she's going to be unfaithful to her husband. You see it at the beginning, and you know the end of it and so forth. But it's also a picture of God on how good He's been to people, that God is a jealous God. God doesn't want any other gods before Him, and it's a layer how we continually reject our God, even in the church house today, and sin against Him today. And Hosea represents, of course, the Lord that would come, and Gomer represents the unfaithfulness of a prostitution and how we prostitute ourselves to other things, and God wants us only for Himself today. How would Hosea's and Gomer's marriage look in the context of today? I found something for you that I think you might find interesting as you watch it with me for a few moments on how it would look today. Thank you, Alex, for helping me with that today. Can you imagine Hosea asking his children, because they had children, and to go out, go find mama. Let's go find mama. She's on the other side of town, and come home, be a good wife again, be a good mom. And in the essence, the Lord is asking the same picture. Would you return back to me? He's pleading to the nation, stop worshiping other gods and come back to me. And if Gomer refuses the act of mercy and the love of Hosea, which is really representing God the Father, he would have no other choice. If she refuses, I have no choice but to leave you in your hell that you've created. God will not force us to do anything. I think of the story because of the layers that maybe Hosea just didn't have the money or the things that Gomer wanted. And so it leads me to this. The most common misconception about marriage is this. What I'm missing is better than what I have. Would you even say that with me, that last line? What I'm missing. And that's that 80-20 principle. And you can make a special note of 80-20, what that means. And Satan is very alluring, and he'll lure you into things that will trap you into indulgences that we start off small, but then it's full blown. He's done that probably in everybody in this, including my life, in this room, and how he allures you. And that's where you stop and say, no, God has something better for me today. Her world may have looked like this modern day. She has an old boyfriend that's a Facebook friend. And the Facebook friend is, on there, and he's liking everything she's posting. Like. And that's a firm. She notices it because she notices everybody that likes the stuff that she posts. And then he starts commenting things, you know, on there, like little playful things. And they joke, LOL, and that sort of thing. You know, it starts. But then he starts getting a little bit further in his comments and going past boundaries that a married woman should have on her. So forth. Do you see how dangerous the devil is? Amen. Yeah. And then he sends her a private message on Facebook, and she responds. Then they go have a lunch that they shouldn't be having, and then a touch happens, and he really listens to me, not like he doesn't. And there's romance now, and they have an affair and a night and a so forth. That's how her world may look. How about guys today? Hey, let's look at the man's world. It would go something like this. There's another woman at work, and she laughs at all of his corny jokes, and she thinks that he's cool, and she thinks that, you know, he doesn't get torn down by her, and they believe a lie, and they start having forbidden sex, and they trade the 80 for the 20. And the 80 for the 20 is something like this. A decent spouse, they'll give you 80%. They'll fulfill 80%. They'll give you 80%. That 20%, nobody can fulfill without God. God really does the 100, but he gives us a capacity of spouses through God's help to fulfill that. But if you're looking for that, you trade the 80 for the 20. Do you see what you're going to do? That you're going to end up, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. There's still poop on the other side. There's this book that Pastor Ted Roberts, he's a great Foursquare pastor, wrote. It's called Sexy Christians. And he writes about this man that's a full-blown idiot. And the idiot decides to trade the 80, his wife of 20 years, for a younger woman half the age of his wife. She's younger. She laughs. She likes to enjoy. She enjoys old movies like I enjoy, the book says. And she goes fishing. My wife doesn't, and we like to have forbidden sex because, you know, if it wasn't forbidden, you couldn't do it, right? I mean, that's why it's forbidden. You shouldn't be doing it, and they get off on that because they both know it's wrong and so forth, and Ted Roberts says, you know, he's still an idiot today because if the grass is greener on the other side, maybe it's time to water the grass. The problem is, you know what? There's still poop in that other grass, but you're not close enough yet, and you're about to step in it. And so invest in what you have. Water the grass. Amen. What are you giving right now? What are you doing to invest? And so the story of Hosea and Gomer. Gomer gets pregnant, has a couple of more kids, and the first kid, one of the kids, it's pretty striking, the daughter's named Lo Ruhim. And God told the husband, the adulterer, not Hosea, he said, name your daughter. And he names her unpitied, unloved, and not loved by her true father. And so you can hear the heart of God, how hurt he is about what his nation is doing in marriage also. And so she went out and found another guy, and she got pregnant. Different guy. And it's a son this time. It's a boy. And so it's Lo-Amim, which means no kin, not related to me. And you can start to hear the heart of God on how he's hurt by these relationships that his people are having. And those that have been cheated on or betrayed, you also know the pain that it brings you. And you can identify with even what God goes through with his emotions of anger. And so what is missing is better than what I have in this thought. God is being cheated on by his own people today. I want to look at spiritual adultery today. Because it speaks to my life, it speaks to yours. Again, the message is preached to Mario first before it's ever, I bring it out to you and bring bread to you. I got to bake it first. You understand that today? So God has two responses that I learned about spiritual adultery. And it hurts the heart of God when we do this to him. And so God's reaction to spiritual adultery, somebody say righteous anger. And so Hosea chapter 2, verse 8 says this. Are you with me on that? Yeah? On the screen. She has not acknowledged that I am the one that gave her the grain, his nation. And then Hosea speaking to his bride, thinking of Gomer. The new wine, the oil, who I lavished her with silver and gold. Therefore, I will take it away. Somebody say, I will take it away. My grain, my oil, that ripens the new wine when it's ready. I will take back my wool, my linen, intended to cover her nakedness. And so now will I expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will be able to take her from my hand. And because God is so good, we have a perfect Heavenly Father, and he's a jealous God, we shouldn't want to have something else. We should want God. Because God's been so good to us. Can you hear the hurt of the Lord in these passages? Can you feel it? And you know how it is to be betrayed and hurt today. And so I can almost hear the Lord saying, you want to do marriage without me in your life? Without God, you reign in my life? Then go ahead and do it. Because you're going to remove yourself from my hand, and you don't want the hand of God on your marriage and your life today as a young person today. You don't want, then go ahead and try it without me. See how it goes. See how you do. See how that works for you. Remove it. And it's a whole lot of pain on the other side of that today. And the result is, and see what the result may be today. No one will be able to take her. That's when we fight the devil. You're not going to get away with this in my marriage. You're not going to take my spouse. And you fight for something that's godly and holy and you made a covenant with. Satan, get out of this house. Devil, get out of this car. Amen. Like my friend Veronica told her pastor, which was her husband. They were both pastors. Pastor Veronica told Pastor Scott. They were arguing in Atlanta. And I hope Scott's listening to the sermon. He leads a great church in Chicago now. And they were fighting and fighting in the car. And I know that's hard to believe that pastors fight. Amen. And they were fighting and fighting. And she finally had had enough, so she rolled down the window, and it was cold, and she pushed the handle, dating myself here, rolled down the window, and she said, devil, get out of this car! And you can imagine how Pastor Scott felt, Pastor Veronica said that, amen, and he got out because she fought for her marriage. There's righteous anger. You know, you get angry that, devil, you're not going to take my marriage, you're not going to take my man, you're not going to take my wife today, and you fight for it today. Amen. One of the things I've learned about being angry as a human is I don't get very far if you stay angry. Get this thing called bitterness. What's righteous anger? Well, when I get angry, it's sometimes not righteous anger. I don't do it the way God does it. How about you? If you're perfect, would you lift your hand? Because I'd like to touch you. Amen. No one has arrived yet, right, everybody? So if you stay angry, you're not going to get far in your marriage. The righteousness of man doesn't achieve the will of God. The Bible says that. Well, I'm going to stomp my feet. I'm going to hold my breath until I get my way. No, you got your way because you held your breath and you shouted and you did all the wrong things and you intimidated and you bullied like you used to bully. And you're not, that doesn't go far. God loves you even though you're a bully. Amen. But you need to change. As fast as God is angry, this is the evolution of your life and my life and what we need to become. As fast as you get angry, you need to have the second response, which is very definite. It's very definite what God does, and He has unfailing love. He changes from being angry to unfailing love. And it says in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14, why don't we read this together? Come on three. Will you go with me on this? And yeah? Amen. Come on, I'm giving you a chance to talk in church. Let's talk. Amen. 1, 2, 3, go. Therefore, I'm going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. I love that. Underlining, I will lead her right there into the desert, because it's literally a place that there's leadership. And there's a place that the man of God would come, as every man is capable in this room, because God's wired you to lead your bride into the place that sometimes is away from all the distractions. This may be the desert of going to Houston this weekend, of going to that marriage conference and investing something, because you get away from the trappings and you get the one night in the hotel room with your bride. Amen. And it's away from everything. But you lead and you make that a point. We're going. We're going to obey God. You take a pause button and you say, we just need to have a night that we're by ourselves, and we lead that as men of God in this room. Amen, everybody? Help me, Jesus, right, everybody? Help the men of God in this room. Somebody be bold enough to say, amen, you can do that today. Amen, God's wired you to do that. I would love the men to shout louder than the women, especially right now, because it's not making a sound right. Give me a good amen. And he speaks tenderly to her. Amen. Yes. And therefore, I will give her back the vineyards. And look at this. I will make a valley of Achor. And Achor, you can circle that word right there, Achor, and put a big arrow, and it means trouble, the valley of trouble. I'm going to lead her. I will make the valley of trouble a door of. And so there's trouble in our marriage. There's trouble in our home. There's trouble of you being the example that you should be right now for your son, for your daughter, for your wife, vice versa. And there's trouble there. But if you go back to the place that God is leading you, then God can bless you and God can help you. There's two ways to have a great family or great future or great marriage. There's two ways to have a great marriage. These are extra notes. Are you ready? They're good. The first way is to be perfect. Do not sin. Lots of luck with that one. The second way is the way I like it, because it's full of mercy and full of God's grace. Walk through the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble, together until you find the door of hope. You keep walking through things of betrayal. You keep walking through things of hurt. You keep walking through sin, through mess, rebelliousness, of hurting each other, of bringing pain to each other. You repent. You cry. You come together. You apologize. You cry some more. And you go through the door of hope. But you don't give up. You go together. You mess up again. You cry some more. Because you've been married 20 years, 50 years, and you go through the valley of trouble. Next time somebody comes up to me and they've been married already 50 years and they're saying, I'm about to leave him. No, you're going to keep going through it, because it's what God, you've already been married 50 years. Come on, man. Don't let them get you on that other side. Sí, hermana. Así es. Pobrecita, hermana. Pobrecita. No, come on, man. Keep going through the valley of Achor to the door of hope. Amen. You should have figured that out at year 5, that he was going to be that way. Cabezudo, right? Some of the best marriages I know have walked through the valley of betrayal. the valley of adultery, the valley of pornography, the valley of rejection, the valley of deceit, and they walk through together, and there's still the door of hope that keeps coming up because they keep persevering, and they always come to the door of hope. If you're married in this room today, and you're continuously pursuing God, and both of you are I promise you that the valley of trouble, the valley of Achor, will lead you to the door of truth if you're pursuing God. And I know what the challenge is right now, because I'm speaking to a bunch of people. You're saying, I'm the only one pursuing God. And what I promise you is this: would you pursue God? Would you take a hold of God and saying, God, I'm pursuing you for my two? And are you ready to have your hand extended, because God's already touching your hand and waiting for his hand to touch yours, or waiting for her hand to touch yours? I promise you, do not give up. I've seen it where the one had to pursue God with all of her heart, with all of his heart, and God restored and God brought back, and God, because they didn't give up. And I pray that you won't give up today, right, everybody? Because marriage means a lot to God today. There's always hope with our Lord today. There's always hope with our God today. I want to fast forward the story a little bit here. And Gomer keeps going further into adultery over and over in our story. I remember my pastor, Luis Garcia, when he preached this, because I remembered some of the Hallmark sermons that he preached when I was a teenager that marked me. And he was saying in Spanish, and I hope I do it justice because I may not. He said, ya estaba todo, estaba toda sin dientes. She was without teeth. She was broken down at this point. She was probably had sexually transmitted diseases. And he was saying it in Spanish the way an ex-tecato would say it that loved Jesus. An ex-drug addict would say it now that loved Jesus. And he was saying as a man delivered, and he was preaching to us at Victory Chapel. She's a wasted woman now, old. Who would want her? And she keeps going back. And this is the state that she even has a pimp at this point. And she's in the sex traffic industry, and it's full blown now. And she's in the business of prostitution. And this is God's message now for the betrayed spouse and where we're at on the big screen. Forgive and love as you've been forgiven. And yeah, I would have probably said, blow her off, man. I'm not going to, after all that, after all she did with me, and I would probably have these witnesses around me, just as a woman would have, blow him off. That dude, you know, he's not going to change, and forget about him. In Hosea chapter 3, look what God tenderly does and tenderly speaks to the man of God and to the person believing right now. And the Lord said to me, go and show your love to your wife. Where? Again. Though she is loved by another, she is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves. Love her as the Lord loves. God loves. Perfect fear casts out all. Perfect love casts out all fear. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, even though they turn to other what? Little gods. There's a teaching about divorce, which is true in the Bible. God permits divorce, but he doesn't command it. God commands divorce. God permits divorce, but he never commands it. He would go contrary against his word right here. A command is, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet. We don't do those things. Here, it is permitted. Even in the state where it says of adultery, but it's never commanded. You have a choice to forgive, and I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? The grace of God. Love her as God loves you right now, even though we don't deserve it. Love her as God loves you, even though you continue to worship the idols of this world, the alcoholism, the breaking of his covenant, the time away from him, the little thing that you give him that you think is going to satisfy God, you continue to serve. I've given God so many reasons not to love me through my years. I've given God, see, I was born again in 1977. Somebody say, that guy's old on the platform. I was 3, okay? That's why I look so young when I got born. I was a teenager, I think. I was, 1970. And I've given God so many, since 1977. Not when I was lost. Since 1977, I've messed up a whole bunch. I've thought about stuff I shouldn't have thought about. I've done a bunch of stuff. I've given God lots of reasons not to love me. You know what's amazing and so loving about my God? None of that changed his mind about me. He still loves me. He still cares. He still thinks about me at night. He thinks of the stars, and he named all the stars, yet he calls me by name. Yeah, that's a good time to say amen. I'm preaching 85% better than you're saying amen. Amen. How do you love and how do you forgive? The same way that he loved and forgave us today. I apply God's word. There's no guarantees that marriage isn't going to end up in a divorce. Ministers have marriages end up in divorce. We've seen them. But we hear about them. No one's exempt from divorce. There are no guarantees. But there is a way today that if we love and forgive as God has loved and forgave us, that's a key there. And if we look at it through the lens of what God's done for our life, we sure can walk with people in covenant a lot better. Not only in marriage, but in our church. If a guy's doing everything he can to pastor the church right, come on, man. You ought to love that guy. You ought to support him, right, everybody? If he's up there messing around and being an adulterer and stealing money and doing that and that, then I'll go with you. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah, I'll follow you. Amen? But the same thing it is with our homes. If the guy is doing, if she's doing, then you ought to support that. You love the same way that you've been loved by God. You love people. The Bible speaks of that plainly, right, everybody? Amen. Does that mean that you're going to be this honking big doormat that everybody's going to walk all over you? No, that means there's rules. He didn't come home for the full night last night. Then there ought to be a come to Jesus moment with him. There ought to be a different rule and a dynamic about your relationship. There ought to be some trust gained, right, everybody? If pornography is found on the computer, then we throw away the computer. If something happens at the workplace, he may or she may need to get another job and leave that environment. There's going to be new rules now for the game, right, everybody? It means that you fight for your marriage, and there's a hard part of the story. And in the whispers of Hosea's friends, you ought to leave her. If it was the other way around, because society and culture teaches us that. They live in a world that says, don't give him a chance. But marriage is really, really important to God today. I don't want to bring condemnation to the people in our circle of love that have had a divorce. I don't want to do that today. I want you to honor God with your life. And God is a redeemer. And God loves you, and he'll build you and bless you, and he'll bring you back to the place that we need to be today, amen, as a people. And no one today has any shortcomings, or there's no second-class citizen, or I'm not that way because I'm not married. No, God loves you. He's your husband today. There was a man in our church that was probably one of our first worship leaders. Our first worship leader was at the elementary school. Now, the first worship leader at Living Faith Church was the boombox. And I put my cassette tapes. That's how old I am. In there, and we would worship God from these things called transparencies, and the transparency thing would beam the thing, and I would handwrite those, and we would project that on the rented home that we rented in Leon Valley, and we'd sing off the boombox. Like the third worship leader that we had, he wrote this scripture that we have in Hosea 10, and I'll ask you to read it with me. Why don't we go ahead and do that on three right now? It's up there. 1, 2, 3, go. Sow for yourself righteousness. Break up the unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness upon you. And so he wrote a song, scripture, and he would jam to it, and we would sing to it, and he would sow for yourself righteousness. And he would do a good job. It was a jammer, man, and we would sing to the Lord. Do y'all remember that song? You have to be a lifer here to remember that song. If you don't, maybe it's okay. But you missed out. Top 40 hit, made number one. Anyway, he was singing, and that man knew what this was about. Because at that moment when he wrote this scripture, when he wrote that song based on the word of God, his wife was away. They had a terrible situation go on. They had trouble in their valley. and she had walked away, and he did everything he could. I remember he would pick up his children, and they would come to church with him. She wouldn't come, and his one little girl that now is a beautiful young lady now, she would cling to his leg, and while he was playing worship, she was like hugging him and hugging my brother as he sang and lead us into worship. And you know what happened? Because he kept believing and he kept going to God to restore. And he kept gathering covenant people that would believe for the rest, believe just like him, not Hermana 911 or Hermano 911, and he says, I'll leave her. No, you know what? He gathered people that would believe like mine. We believed with him. And one day she came to church, and one day they were restored. And one day now they have a happy marriage. They're pastoring another church. That's how good God's been, right, everybody? See, what have you been sowing? What's your crop going to look like? Is it deceit? Is it lies? Is it gossip? If you sow love, if you sow acceptance, if you sow grace, you're going to get grace back. What's your crop look like today? For the young people in this room, plainly to speak, that aren't married, in this room, you're teenagers, you're a young adult, what are you sowing for your future? Are you serving God? Are you living for Him? Are you seeking God? Are you doing everything that you can right now to put God as your one? Because you'll reap that harvest, amen? Amen. You'll reap it and God will be good to you, amen? I get these marriage series, and I always have somebody come up to me. Thank God no one's done it for the 4 weeks, because maybe this will warn you not to come to me because what I'm about to say. All right, everybody, you ready? Amen. Thank you, Rick. Amen. You're a blessing to me. Rick's encouraging me. Blame Rick. Amen. Something like this. Oh, you're married to Irma, so you don't have the trouble that I... And you're married to her, so you never go through what I go through. And maybe Irma would hear the same thing about me. Maybe. And I want to... When someone's told me that, hold up, dog. No. Well, hold up. You're not going to... Do you realize what Irma and I have gone through as a marriage? The stages? From starting this church out where we used a two-car garage without AC for our children's church in a rented home in Leon Valley, like I just told you, with the transparencies. The stages of the growth of this church and where we've been building and then where we've been. Do you think that's been easy? For our marriage? Do you think it's been easy when she was diagnosed with cancer and we went through the stage 4 and she came out of that and is healed? Do you think that's been easy? Do you think it's been easy for all the relationships that we had in this church that are no longer with us, that said, we're going to be with you, Pastor, we love you, and they're no longer here? Do you think that's easy? Do you think that's easy on a marriage? So don't insult me ever again. Those that can hear, because there'll be somebody stupid later that will come and say, you got it made. Because we don't. You know what Irma and I have been through? We've been through hurt. We've been through pain. We've been through where we've hurt each other. But we've walked through the door of trouble, the valley of trouble, through the door of hope. And the only reason that we're married is because the door of hope has been there, because we've been together. I have trouble just like you have trouble. Amen. And thank God for a faithful wife, a loving wife. Amen. And the grace of God and how He transforms a marriage today. A husband of a betrayed wife who betrayed his wife with adultery told us once, you know, the wife, they have a phenomenal marriage. And the wife, would you undo the adultery that happened in your relationship? And she said this, I would never want anyone to endure what I've endured, but I wouldn't change what I've walked through to what I have now. And that's a couple that's gone through the door of hope because they walked through that valley of trouble today. I need to finish the end of the story of Hosea, because it doesn't end really of them not... We don't see this happily ever after. We see the story in the prophet. Again, the woman falls into full-blown again. She goes back again lots of times to her little gods like we go back to, and we fail and we fail and we fail. This time, Hosea buys her with his own money. He pulls out his own bank, his own money, and she's on the prostitution block, and the pimp's up there wanting to sell her, and she's being sold like a commodity, a piece of meat, and he's saying, I'll buy her. He said, you know what? She's my wife. And the pimp probably says, no, you still have to buy her because I own her now. And with his own money, he buys her. I think that's what God did with us. Amen. While we were yet sinners, while we were so dirty, while we were so infected with disease and so many things, God paid a price with his own money, his son. He gave his best. Yes. While I was yet a sinner. See, since 1977, I've sinned a whole bunch, right? Like I told you. And if they were to put what I did on the big screen since 1977, you wouldn't want me preaching as pastor up here. Let's get another pastor. That guy is messed up. He's what? But what if they put your stuff on the screen too? You know what God, people would probably say like this. I would say, wow, I didn't know that they did that. But you know what God would say? I didn't know they did that either. Because once you're bought with the blood of Jesus, as far as east is from the west, I will remember no more your transgressions. Amen. God has this tremendous ability, and I don't know how he does it, to forget about your past. We remember, but God doesn't, right? Amen. And I'm so glad that I don't have to work for the things, the blessings of God. I don't have to work. And if you're working towards it, then lots of luck with that to make it to heaven. We're loved by God because he simply loves humans. He loves people. He loves me because I'm a pat. No, I'm a worship. No, he loves you because you're a person. He loves you, just you. He loves you. He loved with an everlasting love. He's loved you even before you were born. He loves you. He loves you, right? Amen. God will never stop loving you. He's a stalker. He loves you. Amen. He'll drive by your house. He loves you. I love the rainbow after the storm, as I conclude. Because after a big storm, there's a rainbow, and it's a promise of God since the days of Noah that God is going to make it after the storm that you have in your marriage, in the relationship, after the storm in this church, God is still with us. And God is with you today, amen, beloved, at Living Faith Church, because he loves you. God is for you. He wants you to have those relationships that you long for today, amen. God can do it, amen. Would you place it in his hands finally? Let's pray. Worship team, would you come up and help me conclude? God, I pray that you would work in only a way that you can work. I acknowledge, Father, there's layers of pain, different emotions, hurt, confusion. And I pray that there wouldn't be a sense of guilt in this room. Somehow there would be a sense of hope. Holy Spirit, do that. There's a door of hope right now. There's areas in your life right now, marriage, that there's valleys of trouble. In your finances, there's valleys of trouble. In your workplace, there's a valley of trouble right now. You're consumed with it. Your children are bringing you a valley of trouble right now. And right now, Father, I pray that we would be real with you. And let me pray for you right now. Lay your hand on your heart. Just touch your heart. God's touching you. There's a promise in Psalms 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Thank you, Lord. In the valley of Achor, Lord, the valley of trouble, Lord, there's desperation, depression. I come against you right now. Rejection, struggling marriage, there's hope right now. Financial hardship, there's abundance. I speak to that. Fear, self-doubt, guilt right now. Faith in God. Your life is not meant to be easier because you're a Christian. Faith in God will make you stronger. And so right now, let faith arise right now. Would you just lift your hand a little bit above your lap? Let faith arise right now. Father, we trust in you as my hand is before me, above your lap right now. Trust God. You're the door of hope. Don't give up on your marriage. God loves you so much. Father, I pray that there would be even a desert experience for many of my church family here. lead them into a desert and tenderly speak to them right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. As I continue to pray, the name Hosea means salvation in the Old Testament. Hebrew, it means salvation. And when you call upon Jesus, the name of Jesus means salvation. And you call upon, Lord, save me. And don't be cheesy and don't be weak. Don't make a prayer to save you from hell, because that's weak. I want to get out of hell, so I'm going to pray a prayer to keep me from eternity without. You want an eternity with God. And you want to call upon the name of the Lord because God loves you so much. And God's perfect. When God does everything for you, like He's done for us, why wouldn't you want to obey Him? Why wouldn't you want to do the things after He laid down His life? After He's forgiven you even while you're a Christian, why wouldn't you want to obey Him and change your life today? Even as a Christian, because you're far away from God now. You need a second touch in this room. You're far away from God, or you need to say yes to Jesus. I just want to see your hand because you know that Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. And your hand is raised, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to pray for you. If that's you, would you lift your hand and just say, that's me. I need to see a hand if that's you today. You're considering your walk with God right now. Anybody? Father, it's apparent everybody is saved. There you are. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. I saw your hand. You can put it down, my brother. I'm a sinner saved by grace just like you are, my brother. Let's call upon the name of the Lord together. You pray it loud enough that you can hear it, and I'll pray it loud here from this pulpit, and we pray together. Let's go to Jesus. Father, forgive me. I have sinned against you. But there's a hope now, and it's Jesus, your Son. I face trouble, and now there's hope because of Jesus. He bought me with a price. Thank you, Father, for giving your own Son for my redemption. I'll walk with you, Lord. I'll follow Jesus. I'll become a disciple. In Jesus' name. Now fill your people with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Fill them afresh again. Spirit of God, come. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to fill us up again. Thank you, Lord. We need it, God. We want to be witnesses to our world. Thank you, God. We want to witness. We want to change our world. The family needs to be changed. If they can't hear it from me, who are they going to hear it from? That's you, yeah, today. The workplace needs to change. How can they have the light of God if you don't come in there and shine brightly? Fill the people of the Lord in this room. Shine bright, living faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now may the Lord bless you. As I conclude with the internet right now, I'm going to bless you one more time and bless the people at Living Faith. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, and may the Lord give you His peace. Come on, for that one that received Christ, come on, let's thank the Lord. Yes, Lord. There's literally a party in heaven because one came back home. The Bible says that. The angels are rejoicing, so don't let an angel clap you right now. And I just did, amen, so that's okay. Yeah, amen, thank you, Jesus. That's right, that guy has it, amen, or that whoever clapped that loud is good, amen, amen. Today, as a family of God, we're going to take communion together, amen. The Copeland brother and the...